What an odd thing to say. This world has nothing for me. If you really think about it, this world has nothing for me, but yet we spend all our time trying to get what's for us in the what? World. Tonight, let's be reminded that everything we need, everything we gotta have, maybe even some of the things we want, guess what? They're all from Jesus. How many of you tonight can say you've been captured by grace? Amen? Hey, that's worth giving the Lord a little praise. I've been captured by grace. Well, Pastor Jamie Ward is not here tonight, and so don't try not to leave all at the same time. I'm kidding. Pastor Jamie and his family are down in Orlando where they need to be. And, you know, you could call that a vacation, but anytime you take four kids to a vacation destination, I don't know how much of a vacation that is. And so we want to pray for him tonight. And Pastor Keith's out. Pastor Keith is in Costa Rica. And Eric shared with us in the welcome, in the past 3 days, over 300 people have given their life to Jesus Christ in Costa Rica. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, this past year, in the last year, we baptized over 500 folks in a year. And we were praising God because God is worthy to be praised in that. But in 3 days, 300 people. That's a lot. Let me ask you a question. What if that happened in Bowling Green? Oh, me? Well, that'd stir the city up, wouldn't it? That stirred the city up quite a bit. 300 folks. And we just all had to baptize them one after another. All the pastors' arms be given out. Unbelievable things in God. But we want you to know God's been up to some amazing things. And Pastor Jamie last week preached a powerful sermon. I went back and listened to it again today. He preached a powerful sermon last week about what does it mean to have a dream? What does it mean to have a dream? You see, Joseph, who Pastor Jamie talked about last week, had a dream. And that dream was given to him by God. And the last thing Pastor Jamie said was this. When God gives you a dream, it won't be for your personal advancement. You remember? He said, when God gives you a dream, it won't be for your personal advancement. It'll be for the advancement of the world. You see, Joseph had the dream that he and his brothers were out in the fields and they were cutting wheat and his sheath rose up and all of theirs bowed down to him. You remember the brothers weren't too happy about that, were they? So what are you saying, second to the youngest? We're all going to bow down to you? I don't think so. And then he had another dream where all the stars and even the sun and the moon bow down to him. And he goes and he tells his father, and I don't think he was being boastful. He was saying, God's given me this dream. This is what it is. And his father says, do you mean to tell me that your mother and I will bow before you as well? And instead of getting mad at him, his father, the Bible says, kept these things in his heart. Joseph was a young man who was born under the favor of God. Now, how many of y'all would like to have the favor of God in your life? I mean, really, you want the favor of God in your life? How about this? How many of y'all would like to have a little prosperity in your life? A little prosperity? Well, tonight, I'm going to preach you a sermon about the prosperity that God provides. It may not be what you think. It may not be what you think. But tonight we're going to turn back to the story of Joseph and allow God's word to speak to us, because I really do believe this, that if you're in Jesus Christ, you have everything you need right now to prosper. That if you've given your life to Christ and He's cleansed you of all your sin, He's forgiven you of all your offenses, and He's made you righteous, that you have everything you need to prosper tonight. And so we're going to turn to the text, but before we do that, I want us to just say a quick prayer. I always like to say a prayer before I turn to the text, because I want to be ready for the text, because this is God's Word, and I want me to be ready for it. And so let's have a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that You would open Your Word to us. Help us to understand what it says. Help us to apply it to our lives, and help us to see how Your Word brings life. But even more importantly, Lord, prepare us to Your Word. Open us to Your Word. Lord, open our hearts that we might receive what Your Spirit would say tonight. And so, Jesus, we ask that You would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you remember the story of Joseph. Joseph was a young man. He was, again, a number 11 out of 12, okay? He was the second to the youngest, but he was favored the most by his father. In fact, his father gave him a Technicolor dream coat. You remember that play? Joseph in the amazing Technicolor dream coat? Because he was favored, and his brothers didn't like it. And so what they do, they drag him out and throw him in a cistern. They throw him in a pit and say, let's leave him for dead. But then one of his brothers gets a little conscience going, and he says, no, 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 we can't kill him. Here come the Ishmaelites. Let's sell him to him as a slave. And so Joseph, this young man who's had these dreams from God, who is favored by not only his father, but also his God, has been sold as a slave. And we pick up the text in Genesis chapter 39. The Bible says this. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Joseph has come from being sold by his brothers, those with whom he's grown up, those who are supposed to love him most. He's been sold by his brothers into slavery, and now he's found his way into Egypt. He's found his way into the house of the captain of the guard. And even in the midst of being sold as a slave, even in the midst of having to endure such hardship, Joseph, what? He found favor. He found favor with God, and he found favor with his master. I want to tell you something tonight. You're favored. How many of y'all can own that tonight? You are favored. If you're sitting in this place right now, you're favored. And listen, it's not because you get to hear me preach, okay? That's what some would say, but that's not it. That's not it. You're favored. You know why? Because if you're in Jesus Christ, you have the favor of God, which has forgiven you of your sin, which has cleansed you, and set you on a path to a full and abundant life. That's favor. You're favored. And maybe tonight you're here and you're like, listen, I'm just checking this out. I just stopped by. One of my buddies told me I should check it out. I came by. I don't know about the whole Jesus thing, but we'll try it out. Well, I want you to hear something too. You're favored. How's that? You know why? Because you get to hear the gospel tonight. And we believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of his death for our sin and his resurrection unto life that allows you and I to go on to eternal life, we believe that that is the one and only way to get to heaven. And so tonight, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? You're favored because you get to hear how to get to heaven. That's not a bad gig. You know, there's people all over the world today. There's people all over the world today who have no clue as to what the gospel is. They have no clue who Jesus Christ is. They have no clue how to get to heaven. But tonight, you have that opportunity. We're favored in this place tonight. Now, what we do with that favor is up to us, isn't it? God favored Joseph. Now, Joseph got into some pretty rough situations. Joseph was sold as a slave, he was abandoned by his brothers, and now he's a slave, and what else could happen? God, you've given me these dreams and nothing's coming true so far, but wait, it is. You got to make a decision. What are you going to do with the favor you've been given tonight? What are you going to do with the favor you've been given? You know what? Joseph chose to live in the favor of God. What does that mean? That means this, that no matter what happened, no matter how bad it seemed, no matter how bad it got, Joseph remembered that God had promised him something, hadn't he? Joseph remembered that God had a dream for his life, and that God's dream for his life was greater than his present moment situation. Tonight you're favored. What are you going to do with it? Will you choose to negate it? Will you choose to live in it? Will you choose to allow God's truth and God's mercy and God's grace to capture you? Or will you be captured by a world that really has nothing for you? You know, one of the hardest things as a high school football coach is this. When I look at an athlete who has all the talent in the world, now, I was an athlete, but I didn't have all the talent in the world. I mean, I had to work for what I got. And the only reason I was any good at all is because I would run through a brick wall if the coach said so, because I figured he knew more than I did. You know what I'm saying? But one of the most frustrating things as a high school football coach is this. When you look at a kid who's got all the potential in the world, who's got all the natural God-given ability in the world, and he squanders it. He doesn't push himself. He doesn't work hard. He doesn't live with what he's got. Does that make sense? He doesn't play with what he's been given. And he never lives up to his potential. And you know, one of the most frustrating things as a pastor is when I look into the eyes of somebody who has received the favor of God in their life, and yet they're living like it was never there. People who have given their lives over to drugs, people who have given their lives over to illicit sex, people who have made choices that have brought death in their lives, and they look at me and they say, "What's wrong? Why is God doing this?" And all I can say is this: you picked it. You picked it. God has favored you. But you've chosen to not live in that favor. When you live in God's favor, that's prosperity. Now, some would say that the prosperity of God is that I can go over to a brand new Chevy truck, not a Ford, but a Chevy. I can go over to a brand new Chevy truck, place my hand on the hood of that car, and say, "God, I know you've promised me this car, and so I'm going to stand here with my hand on it till you get it." Now, unless you're in a radio station giveaway that they used to do back in the day where the last one with their hand on it wins the car, you're probably not going to get the car. That's not the prosperity that God's talking about. See, the prosperity that God's talking about is a richness of spirit. That means this: no matter how much money I have or don't have, guess what? I'm good. Because God is providing for me. No matter what I want, I'm good. Because God has provided for me. No matter what I face in life, you want to hear prosperity? No matter what I face in life, I know that God is here and God will see me through it. Amen? That's prosperity. It doesn't really have much to do with your checkbook. You can make a lot of money. Listen, there's a lot of preachers, televangelists who've been caught, who made a ton of money. There was old boy's name, Jimmy Swaggart. They said at one point he was making millions of dollars a month. Millions of dollars a month. You know what he was doing? He was sweating and crying, and people were sending him checks. Now, I'm sweating right now. Ain't nobody sent me a check yet. But Jimmy Swaggart had it down. And he was making millions of dollars a month. And guess what? He blew it. He found himself some ugly old girl, and he shacked up with her when he ought not to have. See, Jimmy Swaggart was in favor. Many people came to know Christ because of Jimmy Swaggart. They really did. Many people came to know Christ because of Jimmy Swaggart. He had the favor of God in his life. He had the prosperity of God in his life. And it didn't have anything to do with how much money he was making every month. He was anointed with an incredible gift. People would hear the gospel from his mouth and they would come to Christ. And guess what? He stepped outside of that favor. And what did it do? Ruined the whole thing. You can see him now, still on TV sometimes, banging on his piano, sweating and crying. But he stepped out of the favor that he once had. What are you going to do with it? The Bible goes on, it says this, verse 5. From the time Potiphar, put Joseph in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Well, guess what? Second thing I want you to hear tonight is this. If you'll live in your favor, if you will live in the favor that God has given you, it will affect more than just you. You know, Derek Mitz, you can play a guitar like I've never seen. I mean, you wear the thing out. I love it. He looks so calm standing up there doing it. But he's like doing riffs that I could never do if I practiced a guitar for 100 years. He's like, and he's just standing there like, yep, I do this every day. You know what? God's favored you to be able to do that. He has. And it blesses others. It blesses other folks. Many of you in this room, God has favored you to have specific gifts. And every time you use them, what does it do? Will King, every time you teach a baptism class, what does it do? It blesses folks, doesn't it? It blesses folks. Yeah. You know, if we'll live in our favor, God will bless more than just us. Guess what? If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, and you're a parent, God will use the favor that's in your life to bless your family. They may not even know it's coming, but it'll be there. You know, if you're a Christian employee, God ought to use that favor that's in your life to make that business prosper, to do well. Why? Because you're the hardest working one there. You know, you've heard Pastor Steve say many times that Christians many times are not the hardest working ones at the plant or at the business or at the shop. Many times we're the ones who got to get off. I got to go pray. Well, Lord, have mercy. Pray while you're doing your job. That's what the Bible tells you to do anyway. We ought to be the best employees that anybody has. We ought to work harder and longer. Why? Because we're not working for our boss. We're working for our Lord. And we're going to see that Joseph had that understanding here in just a minute. If you're a Christian boss, you ought to cause your employees to prosper. That's true. You won't talk about a witness destroyer. You be a boss who is cheap, who is hard on his employees, and who never comes through with what he says. You think they're going to think you follow Jesus? And furthermore, what do you think they're going to think of Jesus if you're raising your hands in worship, but you're a Scrooge all day during the week? If we'll live in our prosperity, others will bless. Joseph lived in his favor. He lived in his prosperity, and Potiphar's whole household was blessed, such that Potiphar didn't have to concern himself with anything except for the food he ate. Tonight, have you gotten this at least, that you are favored? You are favored. God has favored you. Now hold on, because there's an enemy who doesn't like that. There is an enemy who does not like the fact that you're favored at all. He can't really do much about it. But all he can do is distract you. He can try to pull you out of that favor. And he tried to do it to Joseph. Listen to what the Bible says in end of verse 6, beginning of verse 7. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. I tried to have my wife put that on our wedding invitations. Now Jeff is well built and handsome. She wouldn't do it. I said, well, you're the dumb one then for marrying me. Anyway. Joseph was well-built and handsome. I would imagine Joseph, he'd been out, he was a worker. He probably took that shirt off and it was like, ding, 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 ding. You know, had the six-pack, had the washboard abs. He's like, you know, Potiphar's like, wash this shirt. And he's like, okay. You know, and he probably just had it all together, you know. He probably had some delts and some pecs and all those. I've got all those things, they're just insulated. But Joseph had it going on. Joseph had it going on. And listen to what it says. He was well-built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph. And listen to what she said. She took notice. She said, that boy would take his shirt off. He looks good. Take it off some more. Mm-hmm. Come clean this room right over here where I'm sitting, please. She took notice of him. Now, she's a subtle thing. Potiphar's wife, she's subtle. She looks at Joseph, and she says this, and I'll read it to you. Come to bed with me. Will be the dream. Now, you got to understand, Potiphar was the captain of the guard of Egypt. He was a high-ranking official. And anytime you're a high-ranking official in a government like Egypt, you got to have a wife that looks good. All right? This wasn't no sweat hog that Potiphar was walking around with. This was some fine little young thing that Potiphar had gotten. And Potiphar's walking around. Everywhere Potiphar goes, here comes this woman with him. You know, and she's gorgeous. Gorgeous. I won't be as descriptive on her body, but I bet she had it going on too. You know what I'm saying? This is Potiphar's wife. Joseph's a lowly slave, and one day she comes in and says, come to bed with me. Now, men, tell me something. If you had a gorgeous woman, probably not totally covered up, wearing clothes because they're in a hot place, so they're probably covered decently well, but not all the way. If you had a half-naked woman come up to you and say, come to bed with me, what kind of moral dilemma would that cause you to face in your life? Huh? Listen, I got to tell you a story. When I was in college, I led a ministry, and I was going down to lead that ministry one night. We were having our worship experience, and I had to stop and get some notes from a real good friend of mine. And this was a really cute friend of mine, too. I mean, she was a good-looking girl. And I really thought the world of her, and she and I had shared a lot of time together working on school stuff. Well, I go to her door to get some notes from her on my way down. Knock, 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 knock. 2 minutes later, I had to knock again. The door opens, and there she is in a towel. Hey, come on in. No. I need the notes, please. You know? Wigs me out. I mean, I'm wigging out. Because, you know, the spirit in me is saying, run! The flesh in me is saying, stay! I finally made the right decision. I got the notes and left. And part of me was like, you idiot. And part of me was like, thank you, Lord. And I went on down and we had a great night in the ministry. But what a moral dilemma that presents. Why in the world would sex be the thing that's thrown at Joseph? I don't know, maybe because sex is the thing that gets us. Sex is the silver bullet, don't you know? The Bible says that all the other sins are committed, they're outside your body. But when you sleep with somebody, that's inside. And that affects you not only your body, but it affects your soul. It affects your soul. And guess what? Potiphar's wife knew that if she slept with Joseph, she had total control over him. She had total control over him. My wife and I didn't sleep together before we got married. You know what my wife found out? I love her, and I do a lot of things for her, but she doesn't have total control over me. Now, she wasn't pressuring me. Just being a man is enough pressure in and of itself. When we were engaged for, we dated for 5 months, and we're engaged for 8. I would not recommend it, but it worked for us. And the reason we had such a short engagement was because the Bible says it is better to marry than to burn, okay? But I want you to hear, sex is something that the devil can use in a bad way. Not just AIDS. I preached a couple weeks ago. Somebody said, well, Jeff made it sound like AIDS was God's punishment on the world. And I didn't say that. AIDS is a reality we face. How do you get it? You use dirty needles. You share things you shouldn't share. You have intercourse with multiple partners. That's how you get AIDS. And it's a reality in our world. And right now, it's higher than it's ever been before. Sexual sin will take you down, guys. And I remember being in high school, being in college, even now. You turn on the TV, you turn on the computer, all you see is sex. That's all you see anymore. They won't let you smoke a cigarette, but they'll let you have sex with whoever you want to. And I want you to know that sex is killing more people than cigarettes. But we won't ever talk about that. Sexual sin gets to the very core of your being. It's your soul. It's part of you that's given to somebody else. I told you you're favored. I want you to know that the enemy will try to take away that favor. Or at least negate it. Make it not worth anything. Make it not matter. I told you that Joseph chose to live in his favor. And living in your favor is the definition of prosperity. You want to prosper? Live in God's favor of your life. You want to get totally put asunder? Live according to the world that has nothing for you. Verse 8. What did Joseph do? What did Joseph do when this woman, good-looking woman, comes up and says, come to bed with me? He refused. He refused. Those are two loaded words. He said no. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day who's in his 50s. And he said, you know, this text reminds me, it is possible to say no. She may be good looking. She may be half naked, but you can say no. It may be enticing. It may draw you in, but you can say no. The devil does not want Joseph to prosper. The devil does not want you to prosper. The devil wanted to pull Joseph out of the prosperity that his favor had caused. The devil wants to pull you out of the prosperity that your favor will cause if you'll live according to it. And he'll do great things to try to get you out of it. Temptation. How many of y'all been tempted this week? How many of y'all been tempted today? How many of y'all were tempted on the way to church today? I was. Somebody gets in front of me that's slow. I'm tempted to let my tongue go loose. Like they can hear me anyway. Isn't that dumb? You yell at people, they can't hear you anyway. Temptation. Pull you out of your favor. And some of you say, well, God uses temptation to test us. No, the Bible is clear. When you are being tempted, God is not the one tempting you. In fact, James chapter 1, verse 14 says this very thing. It says, listen, or 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. God ain't tempting you to try to test you to see, well, let's see how good Jeff's faith is today. There's a good-looking woman. Let's see how he handles it. No, that's not God's... Pardon me. That's not God's business. God's business is allowing you to live the life that He created you to live, a life of favor, a life of prosperity, a life that is full and abundant. And the devil will do whatever he can to try to pull you out of it. I don't know what your deal is, but I do know this. The devil is a coward. The devil is a coward, and he will strike you where you are the weakest. It may be that computer. You know, you turn it on, you kind of hear that boom. Maybe it's internet pornography, looking at pictures that you know you shouldn't be looking at. If you thought you should be looking at them, you wouldn't be doing it in secret. You'd say, come here, honey, look at what I'm seeing. Instead of staying up late after she goes to bed. See, the devil's going to tempt you where it's weak. He's a coward. He's not going to come at you where you're strong. He's going to come at you where you're weak. Maybe it's your hot temper. I don't know. He's going to try to do things just to get it going. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's in business, and you haven't had as good a month, and you haven't had as good a year, and you know you could probably fudge on that tax return just a little bit and make you a little bit more money. These things pull us out of God's prosperity. Look at what it says. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. You know, Joseph stayed faithful to the favor that was in his life. Joseph stayed faithful even though he was tempted day after day. He stayed faithful. You know why? Because Joseph's allegiances were in order. You see, Joseph didn't say, how could I sin against your husband? What'd he say? How could I sin against my God? Joseph didn't say that he would ruin his own life if he did such a thing. He said, no, my master, your husband, has entrusted me with everything. How could I sin against him? And you know, Joseph wasn't even looking out for his own goodness, his own self. Because he said, how could I sin against, this is inferred, how could I sin against the dream that God has placed in my life? You see, Joseph knew there was a dream that God had given to him. It was a dream not only to bless him, but to bless the world. And all of Egypt got blessed through his dream. And he refused to allow the enemy to have it. He refused to allow the enemy to take it. He maintained that he would not sin against God, even though it may feel good for a minute. He maintained that he would not sin against his master, even though he may never find out. Here's a little tip. As a pastor, we see people who are caught in affairs all the time. They always find out. One reason, men, is if you think she's not going to tell anybody, you're wrong. Because she's always got that one girl. Oh, she won't say anything. And then that one girl's got another one. Oh, she won't say anything. And then that other girl's got another. Oh, she won't say anything. I'll tell her. And before you know it, your wife's looking at you and saying, you're caught. See, these little lies that the enemy plants in our minds are usually rationalizations of the sin that he wants us to get into. Oh, it's not that bad. Everybody's doing it. Come on. And you know what that does? That little lie, the father of lies, plants in our head. You know what it does? It begins to shift our beliefs. After a while of hearing, everybody's doing it, it's not that bad, you know what I start thinking? Wait a minute, everybody's doing it, it's not that bad. And when our beliefs get shifted, it causes us to act in manners that are incongruent with the favor that God has placed in our lives. Does that make sense? So tonight, you're favored. You are. God has favored you in amazing ways. And the most important is this, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've gone to Jesus and you've said, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. You gave us a law, and you said, if you will keep this law, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. I haven't kept that law. I haven't kept that law. I don't know, have you? Let's do a little checkup on the law. Let's do a little checkup on the Ten Commandments. It said what? It said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's the King James version of the commandment. You know what that translates into? It's not just lying, it's gossiping. How many of y'all have spread a rumor that you didn't know whether or not it was true? Sin separates you from God. It says, do not steal. How many of y'all have stolen? Sin. It separates us from God. It says, do not covet what your neighbor has. Here's what that means. Don't sit there and always wish you had what he or she had. It said, don't covet what's in their garage. Don't covet what's in their house, their husband or their wife. Don't covet the things that they have. That's not for you. That's for them. Well, I've been guilty of that, and if you live in a suburban community, which is Bowling Green, then you have too, probably. Always looking for a better lawnmower. You know, how come he got a John Deere and all I got's a Murray? That's covetousness. And it's funny, but it's not. Well, it says, do not commit adultery. And that means that if you've had sex outside of marriage at all, you have been adulterous. I won't ask you to raise your hand. Jesus even took it further. He said, if you've looked at another person and lusted, you have been adulterous. It says, do not murder. Do not murder. You say, well, I'm off the hook on that one. I'm off the hook on that one. I have not killed anybody. Okay? Well, Jesus magnified that one too. He said, if you've harbored malice, hatred for another human being in your heart, then it's the same. And so tonight, if you hated someone else, that's sin. And it's equated by Jesus to murder. Tonight, we got to realize this, that even the very best of us are sinners. We've broken God's law. He said, do this, and we didn't. He said, don't do this, and we did. And that separates us from God, because God is so holy and so perfect. And we are so sinful and so stained. But there is a way. I told you tonight, if you don't know Jesus, you're favored because you get to hear the gospel. This is it. That even though you're separated from God right now in your sin, that God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, he took your sin upon himself. And he took my sin upon himself, and he let him crucify him. He let him nail him to an old rugged cross, and he died. He died for you. He died for you. The good news is on the third day, he arose again, and he's alive today. And he says this, if you will turn away from that sin that's killing you and turn to me and say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for that sin. And Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, the one who forgives me of my sin and the one who guides my path. I want you to come into my life to forgive me of my sin and be my Lord and Savior. He said he'll do this. Listen to me very carefully. He said he'll do this. He said he will forgive you of every bit of your sin. Every time you've stepped out of your favor and tried to do it your own way, you're forgiven. Every time you've looked at the law of God and said, no, I've got a better way, you're forgiven. Every time, every regret you have, he is forgiven. And so tonight, you have an opportunity to be forgiven. You have an opportunity to embrace that favor in your life that only God can give through Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are. I told you tonight this, that you have been favored by God, and what you do with that favor is up to you. Well, tonight, if you don't know Jesus, you've just heard the gospel. You've heard the way to heaven. You have been favored, not by me, not by Hillview Heights Church, but by God. What will you do with that favor? Will you live in it and receive the prosperity of Christ? Or will you step away from it again? Tonight we're going to come to an altar, and you have an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. There's no greater story I know. There's no greater opportunity I can think of. That's why we do this every time we meet. Tonight you have the chance to be clean before God. You have the chance to be clean before God. And it's through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask us all, let's stand together. Let's all stand together. Tonight, maybe you've received Christ, but you need to step in obedience and be baptized. You know, my buddy Ronnie got baptized this Sunday. His mom's in here. And you know, not many people, Miss Ann, they didn't think Ronnie'd get baptized, did they? But he did. And we had an unbelievable moment in that baptistry right there as the Holy Spirit touched his heart and touched my heart and reminded us both, hey, I'm bigger than your sin. I am bigger than your sin. And it can all be cleansed. So maybe tonight you need to be baptized. You need to make that decision. Or maybe tonight you've learned that you're favored. And you have the possibility of living in prosperity. And maybe tonight you've been choosing to step out. And maybe tonight it's time to come and kind of repent of those things in your life that are taking you out of God's favor, that are taking you out of the life that God wants you to live. And so tonight we're just going to have an altar. Is that cool? You cool with that? Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you would speak to us. Lord, if anybody needs to receive you, needs to ask you to come into their life tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray that they would do it. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them right now in such a way that they just can't ignore it. And Lord, tonight, that they would be cleansed and that they would leave this place clean. Lord, tonight, I pray that anybody who needs to be baptized, Lord, that they wouldn't keep holding out, but Lord, they'd come forward and experience the power of confessing the faith that you've planted inside of them. And Lord, for all of us who every day make conscious decisions to step outside of what you want for our lives, may we come forward and may we just turn away from those things. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that this altar would be yours, and that we would do whatever it is you want us to do right now. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. You come and experience the cleansing of the Holy Spirit.